So, Rand, what steps would a small book publisher take to license its children's animal or fantasy or superhero character?
Good question. This is also a real popular category. Books, especially children's books, are a source of many, many great licensing opportunities. And really what the steps are for a publisher to really be able to effectively license is, first and foremost, the books have to be in distribution. People have to be buying them and reading them. And that's the most important point to remember, is to get that customer exposure. So if you've got your book published, maybe you're distributing it online, perhaps you've got it at retail, whatever the situation is, what you really want to do is build up that awareness. Another important point for book publisher, get a website up. It's very important to have a website because it really enhances what you're doing with the published title. It gives you an opportunity to flesh out the characters. It gives you an opportunity to build a database of customers. Membership to the website could include things such as special stories or games or things like that. So that's really the second step, is get that website put together. The third step really in publishing is you need to really lay out from the character standpoint what characters are the key characters in the book. And, you know, a little bio on the characters. You know, it's very important in licensing to really have an understanding of how the characters interact, because that's where the ideas for licensing come from. Be able to reflect who these characters are and what these characters are. For instance, you may have some characters, let's say you have an eco theme, and they're very green, and each one of them represents a different aspect of the environment. Perhaps it's the wind or the rain or the weather or something. And so understanding where these characters derive from also helps to identify what types of product categories or products are best to license around them, because the ideal licensee for any type of characters are ones that can really build products or create products that really reflect the essence of what the characters are. And then, you know, the next step I always recommend is, if you have a website, put up on that website a tab that says available for license. And that's important because people need to know that you have something available for license. And it's also a great way to get exposure. You have to remember, too, that there's many, many companies out there that are always looking for licensing opportunities. And every so often, you know, they're using the Internet as a good search tool for that. So having yourself available and accessible via your website is important. Social media, blogs, anything like that, also a great tool for licensing your book. And then ultimately, a bigger step for you, if you'd like to get more exposure, is to consider going to some of these trade shows, perhaps the licensing show or the toy show, where you can really meet these companies one-on-one and make presentations and demonstrate what your book is about, and gives you an opportunity to meet the companies one-on-one. So those would be the key steps to taking out a book and presenting it to the licensing market.
And I'm just thinking, there's got to be a huge opportunity in character licensing. There's got to be some books that have great distribution and have great characters within the books, but no character licensing developed, no IP on the characters at all, would you say?
You know, you raise a good point, Michael, and I talk about this in both Intro to Licensing and Licensing Mastery, especially when it comes to identifying opportunities. You know, there are many, many books that have been published for years out there where there is no licensing. The book has been out for a number of years. It's built quite an audience. You know, a lot of people see these big book projects such as Harry Potter and thing on the big screen, but they don't remember or realize that those books have been a book series for 10, 20, 30 years. And many people look at and say, well, geez, how do I find these opportunities? I've mentioned this once before. You know, Barnes & Noble, it's more than just a bookstore. I talk about this a lot. It's an intellectual property warehouse. So if you're looking to find that next potential publishing gold mine, you can visit a store like Barnes & Noble and just visit through the children's section. See what book series have been out there for a long time. You'll find, if you do some research in this category, you would be surprised to find quite a few book series, not only for children but for teens, that have been out there for quite a while, that you perhaps have not heard about. But if you do a little research on it, suddenly you'll discover that they've sold 500,000, 1 million, 2 million copies of this book. And, you know, once you get to a critical mass of that, 500,000, 1 million, then you may be onto something. And I would suggest for anybody that if you do spot these books and it seems to have some legs to it, that has a good audience, do some research on it. Find out, is there any licensing? Do they have a website? You may be the one who identifies a trend in the next big book that maybe is right for the screen. And if you jump on early, you could get one of those sweetheart licensing deals where you get in early, you work with the book publisher, and suddenly one day they call you up and say it's going to a TV show or a movie, and you may have struck some gold.
Right. And, you know, if you get the license and do all that research and go ahead and secure the license, if they've got that distribution, hopefully they're going to be willing to work with you to use their customers, their buying customers, to sell the character to.
Yeah, you're going to have the added benefit of their distribution. Remember, licensing is a win-win partnership, and I talk about this actually in the Licensing Leverage audio program about the strategies you can use for licensing, and that's a very good point. One of those is the fact that, you know, when you become a partner with this publisher, they have customers and distribution that you can tap into. You're creating a win-win situation. So if you are the licensee, if you acquire whatever the toys or the t-shirts to this small book, you know, the more successful you are, the more successful the publisher is. So it's in their best interest to support you, and you support them. So you've really got an opportunity to access their resources. And again, I've mentioned this earlier on, the idea, think of licensing as being able to access other people's resources.
All right, Ren, I write response-driven copy, and I'd like to participate in the success of licensing campaigns I create for clients. In short, I write all the different copy pieces, and clients license that copy, if successful, to similar businesses around the country. So what type of businesses would most benefit from the copy I create that can be licensed out? Successful real estate brokers, insurance agents, auto dealers, what niches are hungry for good sales copy? I'd like to write the copy once and get paid over and over again.
You know, this is a great question, and this goes back to know-how licensing. And many people don't realize this, but if you're a talented copywriter and you know how to write direct response copy, whether it's via direct response letters or websites or whatever, that is intellectual property. And what you can do with that is, first of all, you can get a copyright on that. Now, let me be clear here that if you are hired by a company to write copy for them, you have to be sure that you are not agreeing to be hired as a work for hire, because a work for hire means they own all the rights to what you create. But if you create something outside of that, you create something on your own that works well for one client, then you have an opportunity to license. You know, there's several derivatives of this. Not only is there effective copy for direct response, business plans and marketing plans are two other examples. You know, I'm a big believer you don't have to recreate the wheel. If it works, it has application to other industries. So in the case of doing direct response copy, you've got to remember that what you've got is you've got a process here that says, okay, it's the process of direct response marketing or direct response selling. Now, in practice, I can put this into practice for you through my techniques by adjusting this know-how, this knowledge that I've created specific to whatever your products or services are. You can license that, and there's a number of things you can do. One, obviously, is you can license the rights to use this particular direct response. And what I always encourage owners of this type of know-how to do is consider doing more than just one-off. Let's say you've written it just for direct response mail, but see if you can expand it out to create a whole marketing system around this. And what you can do is you can license it either on a per-use fee, or if you want to get more creative and you're, you know, really confident and you can demonstrate results, why not license it on a per-sale basis, where you would actually participate on the revenue end of everything that is sold off of that direct response copy or that direct response ad. You know, the benefits are a win-win situation. First of all, you can offer your potential licensees or clients, actually, the fact that you've got proven copy that works. You know that if you apply it to whatever it be, information products, beauty products, whatever, it works. And second of all, you know, many cases you find many businesses that look at being able to do these kind of direct response campaigns, but they can't necessarily or don't necessarily have the financial resources to afford real talented copywriters, somebody who really could put together a very effective campaign that works. Well, in this case, if you've got the copy, if you've proven it, it's your intellectual property, you can offer it to businesses, and now you have a win-win situation where rather than having to pay the high fees, because certainly if you're talented and experienced, you can get a significant amount of money for your talent, now you can offer it in a licensing format where rather than getting paid a fixed fee, you could participate in the profit that's generated as a result of your work. So it's a very, very innovative and creative application of licensing using your know-how in terms of how to write direct response copy.
There's a lot of great copywriters out there, and the really good ones own the copy. They own the intellectual property, and they may use it for a client, but it may be a past client, and they're probably sitting on a vault of intellectual property, copywriting letters and promotions that you can probably approach copywriters and pick them up for, you know, maybe a master licensing deal for almost nothing, because I guarantee you they're doing nothing with it.
You know, what's interesting, you bring up a great point, Michael. When I talk about this, you know, I put together business process licensing audio program specifically for this. Many people are in the information services business, the knowledge-based business, and one of them is copywriters. And if you're looking for an opportunity, this is the beauty of licensing. We're going through an actual hands-on demonstration of how you figure out licensing opportunities. This little dialogue we had here is exactly how you do it. You strike upon an excellent idea. There are many copywriters out there who are very good at copywriting, and their focus is on writing the copy and delivering to the client. The client makes the money on it. But they have never thought about marketing their copy, the ads they create as an intellectual property in and of itself to you. So you, any of your listeners listening right now, if you're looking for an idea, here's one great licensing idea. Why not go out and form a company that specializes in collecting up and licensing all these great direct response copy that's been created over the years, whether it's copywriters who have created it for home products, for services, for gym products, whatever the case is, this direct response copy has tremendous value. It's professional knowledge. And if these copywriters, many of them are not of the business mind that understand how they can remarket, if you will, remarket this wonderful advertising or direct response campaign, you can set up a company that simply acquires the license rights to the copy. And what you can do then is you can go to other companies and market to companies that are looking for effective direct response but, you know, don't have the money to afford bringing in somebody, and you can have a whole library of proven direct response campaigns that can easily be adapted to whatever their products are, and now you're in a position to work out a very innovative and interesting licensing deal on a per-sale basis where you can participate as well as the original owner of the ad, the copywriter, can participate. So very, very creative stuff. A perfect example of what business process licensing is all about.
Help me out with this question. Tell me if you can figure this out. How can I use mobile phones as a new source of customers for IP licensing in general, or to make money with existing ones? Selling, training, products, both. Where do you see the trend in this area?
This is a great question. You know what mobile phones are becoming? Mobile phones are becoming a distribution channel. Much like you have retail stores, the internet, catalogs, that's what mobile phones are. And there's actually some very interesting opportunities that are evolving very quickly on mobile phones. One way that you can use mobile phones for licensing is to acquire licensing rights for distribution via the mobile phone channel. That's one that you could go after right away. And that can be done in many, many formats. Just like you have the internet, you have mobile phones, and what you can do with that is you can go after rights to sell products over the mobile phone, information products. Mobile phones are ideal for the delivery of information products. Now, remember, what you have to do with mobile phones, obviously, is you have to adjust the content to be able to deliver over the phone because of the limitation in terms of what they've got. But think about what you could do with this. You could license any number of information products that could be packaged up, and you could use the phone not only as a delivery channel for specific content that they can receive on a monthly or a quarterly or a daily basis, you can also use it to promote that information, okay, because you've got to remember that in a distribution channel, perhaps, let's say, instead of selling the intellectual property, you elect to promote through mobile phones and generate sales as a result of those promotions. People respond or text back and generate sales. So there's two dynamic ways in which you can use licensing and the mobile phone distribution channel to generate revenues. And as far as products, it's pretty much unlimited there. Again, the delivery of information about either the purchase of the product or the use of the product. And where are the trends in this area? They're only going up. This market is going to only expand and get broader. Keep in mind that you're seeing mobile phones, the functionality of it. By the way, a third area for intellectual property licensing is content. These phones are hungry for content. Okay, they are looking for content providers. So you, as a content developer, one of the things you should be looking at is if you own IP and content, you should be looking to do a licensing deal with a distributor that distributes content onto cell phones. If you're looking for a way to get exposure for your characters, if you're looking for a way to build publicity around your books, whatever it is, think about cell phones. Think about the ability to deliver your characters as wallpapers, as sounds, whatever it is. IP on cell phones. Cell phones are a great great channel for intellectual property licensing.
Rand, as a small business marketing consultant, how can I leverage my intellectual property in order to create a consistent stream of passive income? So this is a marketing consultant.
Right. Now, this is a great question. This goes back to what I talked about, business process or know-how. Okay, as a business marketing consultant, you have probably developed certain processes, procedures, systems that these small businesses can use. Well, that is your intellectual property. It's known as know-how. Okay, you've created know-how. You've created systems and processes. If you've been doing that over a number of years and you've been applying these systems and processes to multiple clients and they have successfully used these marketing systems or processes that you've created, you have now created intellectual property that you can license to other companies. Now, some of the other companies that would be interested in this, perhaps other marketing consultants, you say, well, wait a minute, they're competitors to what I do. And one of the things that I talk about in the business process licensing program is the fact that, you know, your competitors are also a great source of licensees. They have their customers that they're working with, but they're always looking for ways that they can expand and offer them new systems, new services. And by licensing your systems, your marketing systems, that's one way they can do it. You can also offer your know-how through licensing deals to perhaps business coaches. You might offer it to planning coaches. You might offer it to business formation. Anybody that works with small business in any capacity, perhaps they work with small business in leadership development, organizational development. All of these information providers are also looking for other products and services. Sales consultants. This is a perfect expansion for a sales consultant. Perhaps they've been focused on sales. In terms of working with small business, maybe they specialize in product or maybe they specialize in information sales, but they can only take them so far. And they may get a lot of requests from their clients about doing some marketing, yet they haven't got any marketing system in place. Perfect opportunity for you to offer them through a licensing deal the rights to your marketing system, and they in turn would pay you a royalty. So this is how you would develop passive income streams off of your intellectual property. This is an example of how you would leverage your marketing know-how for others to sell to their clients.
Here's someone who's got an ebook series, and they ask, Rand, how could I bring licensing to bear as far as my ebook series is concerned?
Well, again, this is interesting, but basically what's happening with ebooks is much like you have a published tangible book, with ebooks you can again use licensing to sell rights for others to produce and distribute. There's many ways that you can offer them license on the ebook. You know, affiliates, a lot of people out there see these affiliate agreements that go up where you say, you know, you're an affiliate and if sales come through your website or whatever, you can get paid on it. Well, that's a form of licensing. And what you can do, you can take it a step beyond that, but you can license others to have the rights to reproduce your ebooks. They can hold the master files and actually build websites in which those ebooks are available for download directly off the website. So they, in effect, become distributors for you. You don't have to maintain and update the website. You know, the advantage when you look at selling information over the internet, ebooks, things like that. You know, if you're doing it direct, you have to maintain the website. You have to make sure you've got the merchant accounts operating and the downloads and keep track of everything. The beauty of licensing is you can license that off to third parties to go and do that, to track it. And the other nice thing is when you look at a licensing model, if you are selling your own ebook, you are limited by your own activities in terms of how you're going to get exposure for that ebook. You've got to go out and promote it. Just think about what you can do is if you move from a model in which you are operating to sell your ebook direct to one where you license 10, 20, 30, 50 different licensees to market and sell your ebook and all of the marketing activities they will do and the networks they will connect into. This is an example of the power of leverage, okay, where you can license other online marketers, if you will, to market your ebook. And you can do it in a non-competitive manner. You can work with many, many different ebook marketers out there who are not crossing over each other. And suddenly you can leverage up on their customer database, their systems, their marketing efforts, and you could move from perhaps working your ebook alone with maybe a 10 or 50 or 100,000 person database to suddenly licensing now into 10 or 20 different licensees who suddenly can leverage up the sales opportunities into millions of potential subscribers based on their various databases.
Rand, if I wanted to license a sales letter or a marketing piece, how can I find out the specific results the marketing piece is doing, and how would I be able to find out the creator of the marketing piece? Also, is there a way of knowing that the figures given by the sales letter owner are not false?
That's always a challenge, especially if it's a small private business, in terms of evaluating the effectiveness of that marketing piece. Really, it's one in which you have to do your own due diligence. It's much like any other type of intellectual property. I've talked about about this earlier. I reinforce it when I talk about it in Intro to Licensing as well as Licensing Mastery, and it's the importance of due diligence. You know, third-party verification is always the best, you know, being able to go out and get facts and figures that are documented by third parties, whether it's online analytics or something like that. But a lot of due diligence just comes down to having to go in and have a discussion and get the information directly from the intellectual property owner. And then from there, making your own evaluation of what is involved in that. So it just comes down to good old-fashioned due diligence. And then at that point, you have to make a decision based on the information you have, whether that information is accurate. And if you feel comfortable in what you have discovered and whether or not it gives you enough information to want to move forward in licensing those marketing letters. You know, ultimately in something like this, the marketing letters where you are looking to get some kind of qualification or verification, sometimes because this is a relatively new category, or I should say these marketing letters is a category that traditionally has not been thought about as intellectual property, you are venturing to a certain extent into a new area. So you have to take that into account. What I would suggest in one of the strategies that you might look at is knowing that you can verify only to a certain point, is you might want to build something into the contract. Perhaps you've satisfied yourself enough to say, look, I want to form a licensing agreement for you. I'll pay you a royalty on this, but we really want to do a six-month window. Again, going back to the conversation we had earlier, perhaps this is an option situation where you take an option on it to test it out to see if, in fact, the marketing materials are as effective and can be adapted as you thought, and if so, then you can convert it over into more of a long-term licensing agreement.
I would think that the due diligence part of this whole licensing game will inhibit and get in the way from people getting started. So what are some solutions? I mean, I would think if I was to do it and I don't feel like doing the due diligence because it's just plain work, I would hire a team or hire out an assistant to do the due diligence for me. But what have you done in kind of streamlining the due diligence, like on your licensing deals? What are some ways that one who wants to get into licensing but who doesn't feel like doing the due diligence or feels like that's going to inhibit him from getting started, how could they get through that hurdle?
Well, I think, you know, one of the easiest ways is simply to have a due diligence checklist. And these checklists are pretty straightforward. It's just a series of questions asking for certain information to verify that everything is in place that you're looking for. You know, there are parties that do third-party due diligence, meaning you can hire them to do due diligence. It really depends on the extent or the size of the intellectual property and how much is really going to be on the table, so to speak, as far as money and advances and things like that. In the case of a lot of these marketing materials, I would say the best due diligence, and by the way, for those listening, don't let the word due diligence put you off. It sounds like this ominous word. You hear it kicked around in Wall Street and securities and things like that. All due diligence means is you do a little homework. Okay, it's as simple as that. And the homework can be done very quickly and very effectively. Generally, most of it is done, by the way, even in the large licensing deals that I've worked on. It's generally written correspondence. It's a letter. It's a checklist that goes through and says, I need answers to the following questions. And you go through that checklist, you get the answers back, you review it, and then you just whittle down, find out what answers still need to be answered, and you go back and forth. That's really the most effective way, I think, for anybody who's looking to get involved in information licensing, doing something with the marketing materials. I would say you just want to gather up as much information as you can in the best way you can. And by the way, if the creators of these marketing materials have had good success, all right, and their customers are happy, there's no reason why they wouldn't give you referrals and allow you to simply ask their customers how well those newsletters are done. You don't necessarily need to know the exact dollar amount they generated in revenues if they feel that would be confidential, but you can find out, did they see an increase in sales? Was it significant enough? And were they happy with it? And if the answers are yes to all that, then it's a pretty good indication from your due diligence that you'd be able to do that. I talk about this a lot in Licensing Mastery, how to go about doing the due diligence. It's not a difficult process, but one that I think that depending on, as I said, the extent of how large or big that intellectual property is, most of the time it's just going to require the individuals to do it themselves.
All right, do you have a checklist in that one?
In Licensing Mastery, there are key points for due diligence. It's a standard checklist. That's a good starting point. Obviously, as you go into different types of intellectual property, there's some additional things that you'd have to add to. But if you get any requests from any of your listeners and they're wondering about due diligence checklists for, let's say, marketing materials or know-how, I'd be happy to provide an example of a list, which you can post up on the website for any listeners that hear these teleseminars and would like to see an example of that.
All right, question. Ren, I'd like to train ex-Weight Watcher leaders how to have their own diet coaching business. What kind of trouble would I run into with this?
I don't know that from this question you're necessarily looking at a licensing situation, but certainly if you want to train individuals who have been involved in a certain industry on a new process or technique, it sounds like what you've got a know-how on a diet coaching business. And so really what you're doing is you're talking about licensing them on using your processes, techniques, and information for this diet coaching business. There won't necessarily be any trouble that you run into with this as long as you're very clear with exactly what your intellectual property is, how they can apply it, and you structure the right kind of agreement that's very clear in terms of what the rights are.
I think they may mean because they were ex-Weight Watchers. Are they going to get any flack from Weight Watchers?
Actually, good question here. If there's a situation where you are approaching individuals who've been involved with an organization that's in the same industry, meaning you're going to be competitive to it, we'll use the case of Weight Watchers here, one of the things that you have to be clear on is that these former employees or associates are not under what's called a non-compete, all right, meaning that they signed as part of their original marketing agreement that if they ever left the organization or discontinued offering the services, they would not compete within the same industry for X number of years. Okay, so that's the key thing you want to make sure, that anybody that was formerly with that organization is not under or had never signed a non-compete. If they have, then what you need to find out is when they signed it and how long that non-compete is in force for. Because if it's still effective, then you will not be able to, or I wouldn't recommend that you offer them your diet coaching program.
Ren, I have a software program I've developed, and I want to make sure it's protected. How do I do this in the shortest amount of time and the least cost?
Well, software from its very creation, essentially, you own the copyright on it. So from the point of inception that you created it, it's essentially yours. Okay. Now, beyond that, if you want to acquire copyright protection for your software, that moves pretty fast. You simply apply to the copyright office. They have the forms for you. You submit them, and it's done in a matter of weeks. But the nice thing about copyright is at the moment of inception that you've taken it out of your mind and put it in paper or into a program, it is copyrighted. The only additional point that you want to make is depending on what you've created from a software program, whether or not you'll want to disclose source code and things of that nature. Generally, most of the time with software, it is copyrighted, but they elect not to deposit the source code in the copyright office simply because obviously the source code would then be available to anyone. Software, by the way, is the quickest intellectual property to create because it's there from the moment you create it. You're now in a position to license it out, and depending on what's required, you can begin licensing it from the moment that you've proved marketability and that the software works.
Rand, my question is, how do I shorten the timeline to getting an offer and creating time urgency to close a licensing deal? I'm currently in the process of pitching a consumer product, and it's taking months to get a definitive answer from the larger companies.
Okay, this is a real good question, and I talk about this a lot in Intro to Licensing and Licensing Mastery because it's part of the licensing process, that is, of negotiation. As I've said before, licensing deals can be done as quickly as hours to a matter of months or years, and the process really is dependent on so many different variables, depending on the nature of the intellectual products, the parties involved, what elements are being licensed, whether, you know, it has to go through multiple departments or parties, whatever the case is. In particular, if you are licensing a consumer product and you are going and pitching larger companies, it can take quite a long time. Trying to insert urgency to close a licensing deal, especially if you're an inventor and you have interest from a consumer product company, a larger company, is going to be very difficult. Generally, the only way that you're going to leverage urgency is if it's a movie that's about to break, if there's a limited amount of time, if you have a new technology or product that's time sensitive to the market, if there is pent-up demand that is only a short window of time to meet that demand, then you have an opportunity from an urgency standpoint. Beyond that, if you are in negotiations and it seems like it's taking months to get an answer, that's just the nature of the way the negotiations are going to go. There's not much you're able to leverage on that other than the fact that you're pitching multiple companies simultaneously. That's about the only other thing that I can suggest is that if you are pitching your consumer product for license, you may have one or two or three companies simultaneously in the offering stage, and if one of them comes to the table before the other two, then you may have some leverage to create a sense of urgency from the other companies.
Rand, if I do a joint venture concerning my SME, would it be prudent to use franchise or trademark license and copyright license agreements to protect myself from infringements?
Good question. First, just a little clarification, because I know sometimes we use acronyms in these discussions, SME, small and mid-size enterprise. And would it be prudent to use a franchise or trademark license or copyright license agreement? The answer is yes, depending on what you are looking to do. If your small or mid-size organization is looking to license out its brand and or its products, then certainly a trademark license is important. If, in fact, you have a business in which you have a whole operation that you're looking to franchise, in other words, replicate how this operation is run, perhaps it's food or services or something like that, such as a postal center or burgers or whatever it is, then obviously you have to operate a franchise. Real quick point of clarification, franchising and licensing are essentially the same. The only difference is that under a franchise, it's a business opportunity and falls under the FTC's and SEC guidelines as far as offerings go. So there's much more disclosure. It's far more expensive and time-consuming to offer a franchise as opposed to a license. But in either case, if you are developing brands, if you're developing products, if you're looking to take an operation out into the market, whatever the case is, you're going to have some combination of trademarks, perhaps a copyright if you have manuals and things like that. You will need to have those in place. I talk about how you get those established in both Intro to Licensing and Licensing Mastery, and it's something that you can do online through the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office or in applying to the Copyright Office, filling out the information and submitting it.
All right, well, let's say you're a product developer and you have a business opportunity idea that you create an information product and you're selling that or you want to license it to other people. It's still, in essence, a business opportunity, but how do we get in the legal area where it's a license and not a franchise?
Well, what you want to do and where you really want to understand the difference is when you license, you are offering on operating concerns, somebody who's already up and running, the rights to the copyright or the trademark or the invention for them to basically produce it and sell it and distribute it under their company name. Okay, they may be XYZ company selling, you know, Mike's business planning system. That's fine. Okay, what you're not doing and what you want to stay away from, or the big difference in franchising, is you're not giving them the brand, you're not telling them how to operate, you're not giving them the marketing systems and requiring them to buy from you. Okay, that's really what creates a franchise.
You've got
a fully captured system in place that requires them to take a position, whether it's building out a facility, using their trademark, following their operating procedures, marketing the systems the way they want to do, buying the products or services. Okay, that's a pure business opportunity. The other side, and again, to clarify on the licensing, is one in which they're already operating. You are licensing them the rights to your process, your system, your products, your services, and they are taking those under license into their business and offering them under their brands and through their marketing system and distribution channels.
Rand, I have a product, and I'm thinking of licensing it to a group of schools. I've created it, but I want to make money licensing it to them. How do I go about it?
Okay, well, again, you know, anytime that you've created a new product or new service, you have to first and foremost make sure it works and there's marketability and demand for it. Now, if you say that you have a product that you're already out there selling and it now has application to schools, then what you want to do is you want to approach them with a presentation of why this licensing opportunity would be beneficial to them. And again, keep in mind there's a big difference. When you have a brand new idea that you've just created, the ability to license it is going to be very limited. You have to get into the market, prove marketability, test marketing, selling into trade shows, whatever it is. And I talk about this extensively in Intro to Licensing, as well as techniques on how to create marketability in Licensing Mastery. But what you want to do is create that awareness or create that proof of concept, if you will. Then beyond that, when you go out to license, you really need to have a licensing plan. I mean, what is the plan? What is the strategy? Who's the ideal licensee, and why would they want to license your intellectual property? What are the benefits? Again, that's something that you need to flush flesh out. And I have a whole format for that that I teach in the Licensing Mastery audio program on how you develop all this, the licensing strategy, the plan, the presentation, the format. Because to go out and license, you have to have a presentation. You have to demonstrate the benefits of licensing. And most importantly, you have to understand, you know, why are you approaching these schools for license? Why would they want to license it? What are the benefits for them? So you have to develop all that information. And those are the steps that you would take. And then from there, of course, you would have to make the introductions and find out who the appropriate people are to contact within the schools who would review licensing opportunity.